Now listen to this. You talk about a challenge. In verse 9, the Lord Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. In the same way that the Father has loved me, I have loved you." Then in verse 12, he gives this command, "Love each other in the same way that I have loved you." The Father has loved me. And in the same way that the Father loved me, that's the way I have loved you. Now I want you all to love each other the same way that I have loved you. The same way. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you continually do what I command. By that, he doesn't mean that we'll get to the point where we are absolutely flawless and we never fail to keep his command. But what he does mean is that we will be continually striving for perfection. We will be continually strengthening our love for him on purpose. And as we continually strengthen our love for him, we will continually strengthen our commitment to be continually obedient to him. And we will be continually getting better and better and better at obeying him, at doing what he tells us to do, and without complaining. That's right. That needs to be part of the love equation, to love our God so much, to love the Lord Jesus with such great passion that we do what he tells us to do without complaining, even though we have to grow to that point where we love him so much that we obey without complaining. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father. How many of you were still kind of gritting your teeth when you heard me say a little earlier that the Lord Jesus was learning from his Father? And that's how he was knowing what to do. The Lord Jesus says it himself. That's why I said it. I'm simply saying what he said. I learned from my Father. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. We love as we allow the Spirit of God to empower us to love. We don't have the strength to love the way Jesus told us to love. The only way we have that strength is to receive it from God the Spirit. That's the reason it is so important to commit to loving God, to commit to being faithful to him, to commit to being committed to him. This is all about relationship. And we love because God loved. We love because he still loves. One of the things that we'll have to do in order to obey the Lord is do what he tells us to do, even when other people don't want us to do what God wants us to do, and maybe even try to prevent us from doing what will please him. So it's notable that in that same chapter, John 15, as the Lord Jesus talked with his disciples about loving, he then went on to talk about hatred. And in verse 18, John 15, verse 18, he says, right after saying, "This is my command, love each other," he went on to say, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." One of the things that we know for a fact is that it is not easy being hated. Now, if people whose hearts are filled with hatred only realized it, it's not as easy for them to hate as it is for them to love. It is more natural for them to hate when they're caught up in sin, when they're entangled in sin, when darkness is the life that they've chosen. But they would probably find that if they would become sincere followers, I'm talking about people who are churchgoers, but they're hypocrites. They serve Satan and they serve God. They pray. They speak in other languages. They pray for other people. They do other good works. They say good things about the Lord Jesus, but then they also do dirty things to those who are sincere and serve only Christ Jesus and refuse to also be servants of darkness. And my guess is, for a lot of those people, if they would commit themselves to holiness, would commit to righteousness, would commit to being sincere, they would probably find that it is easier to love than to hate. Isn't it interesting that God created man to love, and so many humans choose to hate? God created man to do good, and so many humans choose to do evil. It takes energy to do evil the same way it takes energy to do good. It takes energy to hate the same way it takes energy to love. Why use such precious energy doing the opposite of what our Creator created us to do? Why be evil people who hate instead of being godly people who love, when God created us to be the godly people who love? It's not easy being hated. People put all kinds of pressure on us by hating us and doing the things that they do to make it clear that they hate us, even when they do things behind our backs and they think we're not aware of what they're doing. I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you, including those members of the world system who wear sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves, ready to tear apart and to devour. Remember the words I spoke to you, the Lord Jesus said. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. And there are so many people who pretend that they love God and they don't know God at all. We're going to continue to take a look at why we love. We got to dissect this, ladies and gentlemen, in order to give us strength to get there. But coming up, join me for this conversation: morality and absolutes in the 21st century. That's what I'm saying.